Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for another podcast. Hey, before I get into the podcast, I want to take you back in my journey of leadership. In fact, what I want to do is take you back to a lot of the questions I've been asked in leadership. I've done leadership training in some format for over 30 years. During those 30 years, I found that there's a common question. How do I minimize conflict on my team? How do I prevent conflict from occurring? To be honest with you, for the largest part of my journey in leadership, everything that I had read on conflict, I had heard on conflict, that was available on conflict, was all about reacting to conflict that had occurred. Nothing was preventative. Nothing was a preventative kind of thing to try to help a team avoid moments of conflict. It was all reactive. One day I was praying and I just began to ask the Lord, how do I help these people? Is it always going to be reactionary? Are we always going to be just reacting to the conflict? Or is there a way to maybe minimize some of the conflict so that organizations can stay healthy? It was then that I had the idea of 1 Corinthians 13. It's a book that I've written. And that book is 1 Corinthians 13, According to Leadership. And that book is very strategic because chapter 12 deals with gifts and leadership. Chapter 14 deals with the organization and doing things correctly in leadership. But chapter 13 is the hinge. It's how you take gifted people and you teach them to operate together so that the organization operates smoothly. But 1 Corinthians 13 has always been taught to the largest degree independent of the context in which it was directed. So I wrote 1 Corinthians 13. It deals with 15 things that the Bible says about managing tense moments. Those 15 things are laid out. When I wrote that, I then wrote a series of questions at the end of each chapter. And the series of questions were dealing with that if you taught these to your team or you went through them with your team, have your team answer these questions so that they have already preset how they will handle moments of conflict. The reason I'm saying all of that is I've had a number of calls recently where people are asking me the question, hey, I'm dealing with this conflict. What do I do? So what I want to do is if you go to my webpage, you will find that there's going to be a special little code that allows you to get 10 of these books at a discounted price. So maybe you could hand them to your key leadership team. You could teach it to them. You could go over with them. And maybe instead of just reacting to leadership, what would happen is you would be able to be in a position to prevent some of the conflict that many times happens in leadership. It's just a thought. If that's interesting, go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com and you'll see the special there and you can decide if that's of great value to you or not. The message that I'm about to walk you through is a little bit intriguing to me. It's because yesterday I was asked a question by someone that I respect immensely. And the question was a little bit about leadership management. And the question was really a profound question that really had layers to it. But it made me think. And it's because this person has access to me on a high level that when they asked the question, I immediately went to work and I said, wow, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? So this lesson is different than most every lesson that I've ever done. Because I'm not talking to you about you. I'm really not talking to you about leadership. I'm talking to you about questions. But specifically, questions I'm asking about leadership. Questions I'm asking. See, I've taught leadership, as I said, for over 30 years. I do roundtables. We'll be starting new roundtable material very, very shortly. And one of the lessons is going to be questions that I've never been asked. Because I'll talk about very raw moments where I've had to deal with intense circumstances. And there's certain questions that even though we do Q&A, I've never been asked. So this year, there's going to be an entire session that's going to be the questions I've never been asked. And I'm going to give you answers to the questions I thought, well, this would be what I'm asked, and I was never asked it. So I'm going to deal with five crises I've had to deal with and the questions that I've never been asked about those crises. So that's going to be at the roundtables that'll be coming up in the next little bit. But that being said, I'm not talking about questions that people are asking me. I'm talking about the questions that I'm asking. Questions that I'm asking about leadership. Number one, we know that in leadership, you don't reproduce what you say, you reproduce who you are. That phrase, that statement has been made famous. What is the genesis of that? What is the gist of it? It's not just enough to get up and to have disclosure as far as you're giving out information. It is that you're not going to just create what you're putting out, but what you're going to receive is what you really are. So whatever's in you is what you're going to reproduce. You're not going to do better on the outside than you really are in the inside. And I'm convinced that a lot of us as leaders, we get frustrated at our inline product because we're looking there and going, wow, this isn't what I wanted the inline to be. But you don't reproduce what you say, you reproduce what you are. But if that's true, there's a question I'm asking myself. Is leadership about reproduction or branding? See, I get to spend a whole lot of time with remarkable leaders. Leaders that are far better leaders than me. Leaders that have achieved far more than me. Leaders that I just learn from, glean from, and I'm just privileged to hang around with. But I have a question. Is leadership about reproduction? Am I to reproduce myself? So am I to create leaders around me that could stand in rooms without me being there? Am I to create a whole generation of people that would be able to be representatives of Christian leadership without me being near them? Or is this just a branding thing? That I brand who I am? That I just create this brand? Well, it's Gerald Brooks, and this is the Gerald Brooks brand. Because whenever I talk to people, they talk to me about their brand. They say, we're creating this brand, and it will have their name in it, and that's the brand. It'll have their subject in it, and that's the brand. It will be their brand. And so nowadays, I'm beginning to ask myself, are we just creating a branding, or are we reproducing? So are we really reproducing leaders? Are we just branding a product? It's a question. And I keep asking myself that question. Have somehow we've gone from the reproduction of multiplying leaders to being in an environment where we're just branding a name? It's a question I'm asking. Number two. Leadership and legacy. I've mentioned before that there are four phases to leadership development. And most people don't pass the first phase in their leadership journey because they're in a hurry. They want to get things done quickly. But God's not in a hurry, even if we are. But here's the thing. If leadership is about legacy, and the nature of legacy involves the fact that I'm going to leave, you're going to leave, then there's a question. Is leadership about building an organization, or is it about building individuals, about building people? So when this is said and done, am I supposed to leave behind an organization, or am I to leave behind people? I'm asking that question because I've been brought into conversations as people are in a similar place in life as me, and they're doing, quote unquote, the handoff. And so much of the handoff deals with an organization. It doesn't deal with people. So is legacy about an organization that I'm leaving, or people that I've built up? It's a question. Now, I realize of all the leadership lessons that I've ever done, this may be for some of you the one that you listen to and you just say, hey, man, can't listen to this guy. But these are questions I'm asking. Is leadership about reproduction or branding? Is it about building an organization or people? What is this thing that we call leadership? Because if we don't know what the outcome is or what we're intending to be, we can build or create the wrong kind of leadership. So if we're reproducing ourselves, that's different than branding. If we're building an organization, that's different than building people. Now, can you do all of those? Maybe. But the conversation's not about all of those. So, is leadership about reproduction or branding? Is it about building an organization or people? Another statement that's made in leadership is that you buy into the leader before you buy into the dream. I really love that because in my life, that's true. There are three leaders that I have chosen to invest my time, my talent, my treasure in, that I am going to help them achieve dreams that they have. Now, all three of these are individuals that I admire greatly. One pastors in Birmingham, another one pastors in Oklahoma City, and another one has just been around forever and basically has probably the premier leadership platform in the world. Now, in each one of those cases, I'm bought into the leader. In fact, the question that I was asked yesterday was really a personal one. And that is, do people really know you as a leader? And so it was a question that really started me thinking. If you're going to buy into the leader, what do you have to know? How much do I need to tell you before you buy? That was the question. I was asking myself, how much do I need to tell you? I've done this for 42 years. But in doing this for 42 years, I feel like I've created a track record. That track record's out there. But how much do I need to tell you? Do I need to tell you every time I'm hurt in my leadership journey? Do I tell you every struggle that I go through in life? Do I tell you about the times when literally I've been like Jesus when he looked over Jerusalem and he cried, saying that I wished that the outcome could be different than what I know the outcome's going to be? And then I'm thinking about this question, how much does someone need to know to buy into me? After 42 years, what do they need to know? See, I think I'm pretty simple. I think that who I am is pretty simple. So let me give you the simple version of me in case anyone ever does want to buy in. I love the lost. That's my goal. I want to reach lost people. At our church, we have a phrase. At Grace, we create an environment where the lost can be saved and the saved can serve. That's our goal. I want to reach lost people. So I love the lost. I'm going to do everything I can with every moment I have in life to reach lost people. I love helping pastors. I believe that most pastors are never told that they're doing a great job. They're never told thanks enough, that most pastors are not appreciated enough. And I love helping pastors. And I know mega pastors, and I know a lot of mega pastors, but I love pastors, not mega pastors. I love pastors. And when I say that, I love helping them. I want to help them with their dream. See, I never go into a church saying, hey, let me tell you about what I want to do. I always want to help them with what they want to do. So I love lost people, and I love helping pastors. I love hanging out with my wife. I tell people, if you want to have a good marriage of 42 years, you got to learn to hang out together. See, most people, it's just one experience after another. Jenny and I literally just like being in the same room together, even if we're not talking. I believe that you can't have a great marriage if you just don't enjoy doing nothing together. If you've always got to be doing something big and exciting, I don't think that works in marriage, because there's going to be a lot of times that aren't big and exciting, and you just better enjoy hanging out together. So I love the lost. I love helping pastors. I love hanging out with my wife. I love going to San Diego. San Diego's my favorite place. I don't know why it is. I can go other places that are more dramatic than San Diego, but when I step off that plane, I'm at peace. And when you're a leader, to be anywhere that causes you to be at peace, man, you'll do that repeatedly. So I go to San Diego frequently just because when I go there, I'm at peace. And I love sitting in the hot tub. I know it's simple, but if someone were to look at my life, I would say, this is Gerald. I can tell you every time I've heard, if you want to. I can tell you about every struggle, about every cry that I've had. But I love lost people. I love helping pastors. I love hanging out with my wife. I love going to San Diego. I love sitting in the hot tub. Now, for some of you, you're thinking, wow, that's a really amazing, boring life. And so maybe some of you that were bought in are unbuying right now. But see, that question, you buy into the leader before you buy into the dream. We live in a day where there's a generation of people who say they want us to be authentic. But I don't know what authentic is. Is authentic telling you every moment in my life? Because I think my life has a lot of boring moments. But that being said, what does that mean? How much does someone need to know before they buy in? It's a question I'm asking. Have I navigated it properly? Have I handled things properly? Another question. When I walk into a room, do I leverage it or serve it? I've said before in other podcasts that when I walk into the room, I ask two questions. What can I learn, and who can I help? Those are the two questions when I walk into a room that I ask. What can I learn, and who can I help? But I have other friends who walk into the room, and when they walk into the room, it's about leverage. It's about who's in the room, and it's about that room. But that's never been the question I've asked, and so I've had to ask my question, am I being dumb when I walk into the room? Am I being dumb by saying, hey, what can I learn, and who can I help? Now, my friends, I love them. I admire them. I think they are tremendous leaders. But I've sat down and talked to them, and theirs is about a leverage, and it's just a different aspect. So when you walk into a room, do you leverage it or do you serve it? Another question. Leading with my strength, does that mean I don't have to learn and grow? You know, one of the things that gets taught in leadership areas, especially in corporate leadership levels, especially in organizations that do leadership testing, personality testing, talent testing, gift testing, is that they walk away and they say, if you're going to be a high effective leader, then you've got to lead with your strength. But when does leading with my strength mean I'm not growing and I'm not learning? See, I hear that and I get it. There are things that I may be good at, and there may be things that I like doing, but how do I merge that with Paul's statement that when I am weak, that's when I'm truly going to be strong? I mean, how do you take the concept of I just focus on my strengths and merge that with a biblical concept of Paul saying that you're most dependent on God in the midst of your weakness? So can they merge together? At what point, or is it a head-on collision? At what point are we avoiding reality? At what point? See, here's the thing that's interesting to me. When Moses was talking to God in the backside of desert, you know the story. It's a bush that's burning, but it's not on fire. Hey, the leadership lesson. If you're really leading for God, he can teach you how to be on fire without burning out. That's a whole lesson that I've done in the past. But Moses is sitting there and he's talking to this bush. Don't you think that that would cause some scratching of the head in today's society? But Moses is speaking to it. And as God begins to articulate back and speak to him, one of the things that Moses said is, I just can't speak. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not good at articulating. Now, take that over to our society. We think that every leader has to be articulate. We think that every leader has to be able to communicate and articulate and be able to say things and say them well. Well, Moses sits there and he says, I'm not good at this. So what does God do? He says, okay, I'm going to send your brother Aaron. You know what's interesting to me is in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is recalling from the Old Testament about the things that God did, one of the things that he says was that Moses was eloquent in speech. You know what that says to me? There was something that Moses didn't think he was good at, but God knew he would be good at it. But if he had taken a gift test, he'd have been told, this is my weakness, this isn't my strength. But is there a place where God knows us and he knows that we have strengths that can grow and that they can develop, and we may not think we're good at it, we may not think we're great at it, but God looks at us and he says, hey, you don't know yourself as well as the one who created you? So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at and saying, Moses would have spent his entire leadership journey never becoming eloquent if God would have left him to his own resources. He would have missed that. And there's a book out right now that's one of the bestsellers. People are having people. And every time I hear it, I cringe because it doesn't fit with the biblical model that God knows you better than you know yourself. And that God knows how to take the weakest things in your life and turn them into a strength. So my question is, do we limit God because we think that we know ourselves better than God knows us? It's my question. Where do I think that I know better than God? Where do I think that is? Another issue. Content, what we're doing right now, what we've done before on our podcast, do you share it or do you sell it? That's a question that I'm asking myself because I get asked that. When it comes to content, do we share our content or do we sell our content? See, I'm doing a podcast right now. Well, most podcasts have subscribers. I don't have any subscribers. I don't know if I'll be the only one that ever hears this. Most podcasts have advertisers. I don't have advertisers. Why? Because I've struggled with the issue of content. Freely I've received, therefore freely I give. At what point do you begin to give something? And at what point do you begin to sell something? And is there a place in there? See, I've been told that being in a room, I'm in a room right now, all by myself, that teaching's not going to be enough. That really, my podcasts are not spicy. That I'm not interviewing someone, I'm not talking about the latest book, the latest this, the latest that. And I'm not complaining about any other podcast because I listen to a lot of my friends' podcasts and they are amazing. And then I'm told that people may listen to one, and like I said, this one's a little bit different, but will they keep listening? And then the big thing is if you're not out there marketing it, will the people who listen to it tell anyone else? Or will they just take the content and use the content for their situation without extending it? When I started the podcast, my heart was for the kid. Most of you know the story that the first church that I pastored, I destroyed. I was a kid. I wanted to learn, but I didn't have the money to learn. I didn't have the resources to learn. 42 years ago, there weren't the platforms of learning that are there. So I just wanted to help the kid who was like me, who didn't have any money, who didn't have the ability to go out and buy a growth track, buy a development track. So I just wanted to create podcasts that it basically, if a kid started the first one, which the very first one is the one about calling, if they were to use that and just start going through these, that maybe it would help them become a leader, to be able to articulate leader with Christian values. And that was my goal. And so unlike most podcasts, they're not marketed. Most like there aren't advertisers. Most podcasts, there aren't subscribers. It's just out there. And what I know is my mom will listen to them and I'll do them. And so, hey, Mom, hope you're enjoying it. A little sarcasm there. But does all content have to be marketed or given? See, I don't know how many podcasts I will ever do. I just know that literally I sit in a room and I have an idea and then I go sit in front of a mic. But do you share it or do you sell it? Now, I have no problem with either one. I just think it's a question I'm asking. Number 7, can you lead well for a long time? I've told the story many times. I picked up a book called The Making of a Leader. It was by Robert Clinton, a professor out at Fuller. That book was going to define my leadership journey because it made me go, and at that time, yeah, old school, get a tape, a cassette, where he had taught on a similar line. And on that cassette, he mentions that in the Bible, there are 300 leaders. Of those 300 leaders, he says, only 25% of them finished in the will of God. That the majority of all leaders that were given information about in the Bible were more like King Saul. He didn't finish in the will of God. And going throughout the Bible, that the people were given content and background about, the majority of them didn't. That ensued me sending off literally for Dr. Clinton's notes, which I still have, and it lists all those leaders and it lists his study of them. Now, please understand that that was literally years of research, and that was a case where a laborer is worthy of his hire, and I paid him for those notes because I wanted to extrapolate. But can I tell you something? That challenged me because I want to be a leader that finishes well. But I know no leader gets up one day and says, I want to blow it. But I know that where I am at life, I see more leaders miss it in the last turn of their journey than finish. And some of it is because of presumption. People say, I've made it this long, therefore I'm good. Sometimes it's based on they think that yesterday's discipline means that I'm disciplined today. And sometimes it's because they're just one generational. They're caught in their generation, and they never enlarge their mindset to be bigger than that. So these are questions that I have. I'm basically asking the question, is leadership about reproduction or branding? Is it about building an organization or people? How much do I need to tell you before someone buys in? It's the simple question of, when I walk into a room, do I leverage it or do I serve it? In my desire to develop my strengths, am I overlooking the fact that God knows me better than I know me? And with content, do you always share it? Do you always sell it? When or what and how often? And then, can a leader lead a long time and truly, truly lead well? Now, a lot of you are sort of hearing this and saying, wow, what happened to this guy? Here's the thing. I don't have answers to the questions above. I don't. They're questions I'm asking myself. They're questions that are making me ponder. They're questions that are making me think. Remember how it says about Mary, and she pondered these things in her heart? She heard some stuff that she couldn't process all at one time. It's the concept of Selah in the Old Testament, where you just sit there and you're beginning to ponder. These are my questions. These aren't questions other people are asking me. These are questions I'm asking myself, and I'm asking God for me. And I don't know what it looks like. I can tell you one thing. I don't think the answer to these questions is one size fits all. And I don't think spiritually one size fits all. You know what's interesting in the New Testament is that when we're talking about Jesus healing individuals in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we find is he healed more people individually of blindness than any other disease that's mentioned. So when we talk about individual healings, we're not talking about healing the multitudes, individuals. He healed more people of blindness individually than anything else. But he never did it the same way. He did it different each time. So I don't think one size fits all. And so if you're listening to this and you think, well, he's preaching and saying this or that, I'm not. But what I am saying is leaders always have questions. And what I am saying is, if you don't have questions, I don't think you'll keep leading. And what I am saying is, the most important questions that you're ever asked are not the questions someone else asks you. They're the ones you ask yourself. So I just wanted to do a podcast on questions I'm asking. And I know I may have muddied the waters for some of you. I apologize for that. I may not have been able to clarify some things. I'm sorry about that. But I did want you to see the inside of a leader. I don't have the answers to all the questions I'm asking. And what I know is that the answers for me may not be the answers for some of my dear friends. Leaders always have questions. And if you don't have questions, you won't keep leading. And most important questions are the ones that you ask yourself. Of all the leadership lessons I've done, this is probably the most honest. But I don't know that it causes anyone to buy in any deeper. But it's probably the most transparent set of questions that I've gone public with. Now, I've gone public with my emotions many, many times because I teach so much on the emotion and the makeups of a leader. But these are questions. Can I tell you something? I'll have different questions next year. because I know that great leaders become great leaders by asking questions that only God can answer for them. Thank you so much for joining me. I do hope that maybe you'll take this content and utilize it, but I pray that if you're going to receive it, freely you receive, freely you give, that you'd give it away to somebody. You let someone else know, because maybe you know that kid that I started this podcast for, who doesn't have the money to buy the growth track, but just needs someone to help them in their leadership. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.